Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Coors Light. I'm Jason Goff, and I'm joined by my teammates Casey Johnson, Rob Schaefer, Tim Goldrick, and of course, management Tony, who is out but here in spirit. Coming up on the show, we'll discuss the return of Zach LaVine, the win over the Charlotte Hornets, Daniel Tice, and how much you got to pay him to keep him, if you can keep him at all, Patrick Williams and his strong starts and sometimes fizzling finishes, and of course, the play-in picture and what's left for the Bulls season. There it is. Recording has started. All right. Welcome in to one of the last regular season Bulls Talk podcasts brought to you by Coors Light. I'm Jason Goff, and I am with my teammates, Casey Johnson, Rob Schaefer. You can read all of their work on the My Teams app and NBCSportsChicago.com. So, fellas, we are recording this after the Charlotte Hornets drubbing 21-point win by the Chicago Bulls. And I got to be honest with you, I shed one tear because sitting next to Kendall Gill during a basketball game is an experience that I feel like we should raffle off a chance to sit and watch a game with KG, because KG made me feel like I was watching the 2022 Eastern Conference champion Chicago Bulls. But seriously, though, having Zach back on the court, having Vooch back, your full complement of players, it was fun to watch, and Charlotte's playing for something, right? So you're going to get their best bet. LaMelo Ball got shut down. He had a tough game. He hit the wood a lot. Like, he hit the floor a lot. We don't see a lot of opposing point guards hit the deck as often as LaMelo Ball hit the deck. But these last couple of games since we potted, what your thoughts are? KC, we'll start with you, man. It was cool to see. Obviously, Zach's got a lot of rust. Obviously, Vooch is going to dominate anybody who doesn't play him defensively as stout as some of the other guys have, like Valanciunas and some of the other defenders who are his size. But Vooch dominated. I thought Coby White played well defensively with Roy Williams in the stands. He went after LaMelo Ball a couple of times. This was the kind of win that I think Bulls fans were looking forward to more often after the trade deadline.
Yeah, and in fitting fashion, Bulls fans are upset because the Raptors lost, so it hurts the Bulls' draft lottery chances. So you can't win if you can't win by losing. You can't lose by winning. I don't know, whatever I'm trying.
Yeah. You're good. But,
no, I mean, I personally, there was. I'm on the Kendall side. I think there's a lot to like from this. You know, it doesn't matter how rusty Zach looked or what kind of condition he needed to. Just being out there was, to me, a jolt of energy for this team. And you know, his teammates said as much when we talked to him afterward. And you know, also I just felt like he commands so much attention, and you know, makes defenses have to respect him, that it just opened up so much for other people. And it was a flawless offensive game, really. I mean, they shoot 50%, 33 assists, they almost shoot 50% from 3-point range, 7 players in double figures. It was that blueprint that they were using earlier in the season before the trade deadline, which you have not seen as much since the trade deadline. So the fact that, you know, Zach and Vooch both played at the level that they did, and the whole team did, I think is encouraging. You know, whether it matters in the long run, I don't know. But for one night, can anybody celebrate anything for one night in this town?
We need to every once in a while. Rob, your feeling, because I had the conversation with Kendall on the post game about the fans' point of view and what fans are thinking of and what they're seeing these last 6 or 7 games. I got a bunch of people tweeting me, "Stop winning games. What's going on here?" Worst case scenario, this team doesn't make the play-in picture and they get the 5th pick, which then goes to Orlando. But best case scenario, they went out, something crazy happens, they find their way in. What is the likely scenario, and what did you think about tonight's game?
Well, tonight's game, one, you said flawless offensive performance, KC. I got to poo-poo that a little bit. They did have 18 turnovers. And it was a feel-it-out performance for Zach, right? I mean, we expected that. He's still getting his feet under him. 27 minutes, but look good. He had 8 in the fourth quarter. Yeah. To me, the biggest takeaway of the game, I mean, just Vucevic, after missing 2 games with the bit of hip soreness, and that was clearly affecting him in the last game that he played when he went 7-27 against the Bucks. That dude is just a rock. I mean, 5-7 from 3, 50% shooting on 24 attempts, 29-14, 3 assists. I think all of them were in the first quarter and 2 steals. He's just so consistent. And I think wherever this season winds from here, and I think I would probably fall, Jason, between somewhere in the middle of your two outcomes. Right. I certainly don't think they win out, especially with how tough the schedule is down the stretch. And there are teams that they're playing in the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference, the Bucks, the Nets, will have something to play for potentially, depending on how the standings break out here. I know Philly pulled ahead, I think 2.5 of Brooklyn tonight because the Nets lost to Dallas. But, you know, it's not going to be a cakewalk schedule, certainly the rest of the way. Their magic number is 3. So any combination, as our pal Cody Westerlund tweeted, of Bulls losses and Wizards wins adding up to 3 results in them being mathematically eliminated. I think that is certainly the likely scenario. I empathize with fans that want to see them lose out and improve their lottery standing because, I mean, with how many holes this team has to plug this offseason, having a top 4 pick certainly wouldn't be bad. The problem is there's just really no avenue for them to get above 7th in the lottery odds because Cleveland and Oklahoma City are a little bit too far behind them. So it's really going to be that difference between that 32% chance if you're 7, 26% chance if you're 8th. Now, if you're the Bulls, I just don't think you can afford to operate like that. I wrote on Thursday, so yesterday, as you're listening to this, about a couple things that'll be worth watching down the stretch, even if the playoffs aren't in the cards, that didn't have anything to do with lottery odds, because there are still things that this team can do to lay the groundwork for next year, in my opinion, in these last 6 games now. I think one of them, you saw a kernel of it tonight in that Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic on-court chemistry. As Zach gets fully back acclimated here, I think if those two can develop a little bit more of that two-man game and play well together, they're the two fixtures moving forward. So that certainly has value, especially because with limited practice time, the condensed schedule, they just haven't had a chance to play together as much, regardless of the results. They just haven't even been on the floor together as much. Obviously, the results have been disappointing, and there's no excuse or sugarcoating that. And then Patrick Williams tonight, 7 points in the first quarter. He only finishes with 11-9. I think he only took one shot, one field goal attempt after the first quarter. But he had an aggressive start. Looked good, attacked the glass, I thought, with the right amount of physicality, ferocity, whatever you want to call it. There are just the little highlights in there. Thad anchoring the bench unit. Kobe, I thought, despite ending the night with 4 turnovers, looked pretty good sticking in the starting lineup. So a lot of stuff to like. That's a shorthanded Hornets team, but it was just nice to have fun watching a Bulls game again, right? I mean, that stuff can't be taken for granted if you're a fan watching along. Certainly not for us, Casey. We talked about in the last pod the entertainment value that getting Zach back would provide. And even though he didn't play that well the first game back, by his lofty standards, it provided that a little bit. So, you know, we're going in a lot of different directions here, but the point is,
yeah, it's all good.
The season is probably not going anywhere playoffs wise, but there's still reason to play this out at least until, you know, the last game or two. Yeah, there's still things to learn.
Hey, real quick, my turn to quibble with you, young goat. You said Thad Young anchored the bench unit. I would say he threw down the greatest dunk in the history of the NBA.
and he did it on a young guy too, Jalen McDaniels, first year.
And then growled at him. He growled at him.
Yeah, caught him.
That right there. That and as we get our little caption here, that's the equivalent of the Thad Young alley-oop dunk. Is KC the Wiley vet? Get on. Right. I don't know if Jalen McDaniels is the young goat. I don't know if I'm the young goat either. But
yeah, no, that's your nickname. You got to roll with it. The young goat, Rob Schaefer. So Daniel Theis. I feel like this is the portion of the podcast where we appreciate Daniel Theis only to save these when he is like a Phoenix Sun next year or whatever the case. But the dude, like even the mistakes that he makes. You know what I mean? The mistakes that he makes are full speed. I can dig it. He plays hard, and he's not just like this hard playing guy. He's a skilled dude. Yes, it is Daniel Theis appreciation time, dude. I like him a lot. He's everything about this, other than Troy Brown Jr.'s leg falling off. Apparently, like everybody in this trade, I get enthused about watching going forward, even if the results, you know, since trade deadline, obviously with Zach being out, they've been mixed, but. Daniel Theis can play for me any day, and far be it for me to spend anybody else's money, but hey, the Bulls, unless the number gets really ridiculous, I don't know how you don't bring Daniel Tice back. Unless the number gets ridiculous, like I said.
Yeah, or you get in a situation where you want to operate under the cap and you end up having to renounce all these guys that have cap hold. We're going to get into this closer to the offseason probably, but the cap space calculation is so nuanced and complicated that even if it's not deserved, there might be a scenario where he can't come back for that reason. But Casey, go on with what you were going to say.
You know, I was going to talk about that. I mean, his cap hold alone might, you know, but that's a minutia thing. I mean, we're in appreciation mode. But, I mean, to me, it was just the whole game plan scheme. I mean, it was clear that they were trying to play some bully ball against the Hornets. And Cody Zeller had a couple moments where he actually looked like he was competent and hanging. But for the most part, 50 to 26 in the points in the paint.
The three ball
was keeping them alive, yeah.
Yeah, and just, you know, the way – I mean, Vooch was scoring. He did hit some threes later, but early on, he and Tice were all kind of doing their damage on the inside. So it really set the tone for this victory. And the other amazing thing is then, you know, Tice didn't play much really down the stretch because then Thad came in and they got it rolling with Thad. And that combination of those guys, from the four were just fantastic tonight. I mean, Thad almost had a triple double in like 20 minutes. It's ridiculous.
Of course he did.
Evergreen, every night you could say that.
Every night, right. Speaking of the front court, Rob, Lowry. Like, Lowry played some really good minutes, I thought, tonight, and defensively as well. Like, the verticality, you know, got on the floor a couple of times. I know it's, you know, we're grasping at straws here, and he was our player spotlight on Thursday night, but Lowry, whatever the future may hold for Lowry, we've talked about it ad nauseum to this point. It's good to see the aggressive Lowry at times. And tonight we saw that. 10.7 rebounds doesn't jump off the page at you, but coming off the bench and just continuing, I won't say the dominance of the front court, but continuing the really good play of the front court against the Charlotte Hornets team.
Yeah, I mean, he got his 10 points, certainly, you know, attacking the glass, 7 rebounds, looks good. We're just at that point with Lowry, even though he's 7 feet tall, like that is noteworthy. But, yeah, I mean, it's just the way the roster is structured. It is fun, I guess, to watch and different and a new wrinkle to watch when it works well. Realistically, in the offseason, though, you can't operate with this many forward center types between – Thad, Vooch, Lowry, and Tice, you know, one or two is probably going to have to go for this roster to kind of fit a more modern feel, maybe a feel that works better playing around Zach and Vooch. But, yeah, it was nice to see Lowry play well tonight. I thought he benefited, too, from Thad's playmaking on the second unit, which Billy Donovan has talked about being an advantage of starting the Tice-Vucevic front court as well as all the defensive stuff that Tice brings to complement Vooch. And there's another small thing to watch maybe down the stretch here. It's such a common theme throughout the season has been the Bulls starting lineups struggling and Billy Donovan having to mix and match, and there's injuries and there's COVID protocol absences of things having to change with that front five. Here tonight, they start Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams, Daniel Tice, and Nikola Vucevic for the first time this season. This is their 14th starting lineup combination of the season. Adam Amin noted them on the broadcast tonight. And they played pretty well. They got off to a fast start. They had good minutes in the third quarter, which is when they really kind of pulled away. 37-21, they outscored Charlotte in that third quarter. So, you know, 6 games left, and some of them may end up being meaningless if they get mathematically eliminated here. Oops. But that'll be something to watch just because, you know, if you can find something sustainable, even if the roster gets shaken up next year, if you can just find a formula that seems to work around your big two and Zach and Vooch and Patrick Williams, who's going to be around here for the long term too. Another guy who crowds the front court if he's going to maybe play some more four next year, which is something that I would advocate for. It'll be interesting to watch if you could just blend some skill sets together that seem like they have staying power. So that's something I'll be watching too.
KC, Rob mentioned P. Will 7 points in the first quarter. And we've seen the first quarter where he's gotten 5 or 6 or 7 points and then end up with 9, 10, or 11 like he did tonight. And I'm not talking about problems or anything, but when do you settle into like, okay, if he has to be told to be aggressive, maybe this is what he's going to be, just a higher version of it as we go along here. Is that something that Bulls fans maybe not now, but may down the road have to come to grips with? Like the baby Kawhi stuff, we've had a ton of fun with it. The body type, the high arc and jump shot, the huge hands, the physical attributes and the tangible stuff is there. But No matter what the record was at the end of this season, we talked about it in Rob's pregame, preseason questions that he had for us. I wanted this last quarter of the season, no matter what the record was, to see his growth, development, and let's face it, there's not too many guys who are standing in the way of him being the third best player and third most important player on his team. And it seems like the baby steps are still baby steps.
Yeah, I think the one difference that jumps out to me tonight, though, Jason, is that even though he didn't score much more after that first quarter flurry, he as Rob mentioned before, he had 9 rebounds, and he still was making plays out there. Yeah. Too many times in other games, you don't even really know he's out there. And tonight, you knew he was out there, even if he wasn't scoring much past that initial flurry. So, I mean, there were several moments in that second half where he came up with a big rebound or had a nice defensive stop or what have you. So tonight I thought he was much more impactful. But as far as your larger point question, I'm gonna reserve judgment until I see this guy go through a summer league and a training camp and kind of settle into a regular NBA rhythm and a regular NBA season. I mean, it's certainly debatable. We've kicked it around here. I mean, at what point do you want a little selfishness or a little attitude? Right. You know, particularly when you've got so many alpha personalities in this draft class. I mean, guys like LaMelo, even though he was off tonight, or Anthony Edwards and his, awesome.
Oh, man, dog. I love that dude. Everybody loves him now. Everybody, like, that's the guy who, remember we talked about, like, oh, there might be some, there were quote unquote character concerns coming out of Georgia.
Yeah.
And all I'm sitting there is like, there are comedic concerns, because every time this dude says anything, I'm dying laughing. And on top of it, he's a premier player. So, yeah,
and another guy that's got a lot of swag in this rookie class is Cole Anthony. If you've watched any of his interviews, as a Twitter fan,
you know Cole early, Rob.
Yeah, I love Cole Anthony.
And then we haven't got to Haliburton. So I mean, it's definitely a valid debate.
Point God.
It's definitely a valid discussion, but for the conclusive answer, I think I'm gonna, like most people. Yeah. I'm going to wait till we get through a normal NBA rhythm of the season, because we have not had that to this point.
Yeah, a real off season, a real strength program,
a season without testing and all these other crazy things. Knock on wood that happens next year. We'll see where we're at as a country and as a world. But, back in the day, you wake up and you go to a breakfast meeting as a team, or you wake up and you go to shoot around. Now you wake up and you test, and then they got to go sit for 45 minutes and socially distance. I mean, this is not a normal NBA season for anybody, much less a 19-year-old rookie who, is never done this before. So
yeah, and if I could add one thing to the Pat Will discourse too, I think one thing that maybe doesn't get brought up enough with him, and he's talked about it a little bit in interviews with him, is he really has never been in his basketball career. And I don't know whether he's never been asked to do this, or it's just he's never been this guy in whatever team context he's been in. He's never been like a high volume go-to scorer guy. So not only is he learning the rigors of the NBA as, apologies for the cliche, the second youngest player in the NBA, this is also an entirely different mentality, skill set, whatever you want to call it, that he's learning. To me, it's just not as simple as, hey, Pat, shoot more. He's still like learning the decision-making process. He is a guy that Billy Donovan said is always trying to make the right reads and the right decisions. I think maybe that gets a little bit overlooked because of his draft position. You see number 4 overall pick, and when you talk about the guys who went before and after him and around him, like, you talk about their mentalities, you want him to play with a little bit more of that. But that's why, Casey, I totally agree with you about the one, this offseason going through it and getting all of those benefits that you guys talked about, the strength and conditioning program, summer league, yada, 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 that he didn't necessarily get this year. That's why I'll really be curious to see that before obviously passing a final judgment, maybe even beyond that before passing a final judgment, because even after that, he'll be 20 years old. It's just interesting in that sense. We'll see what happens with Pat. But I think to this point, it's been promising to see the flashes lately, to see that 19-point game with Zach and Vooch out of the lineup was certainly good to see. But that's why I'll give it a little bit more time before passing total unequivocal final.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, nobody's throwing out Pat Williams right now. Just wondering, because, sitting there watching a game with two former NBA players, I hear, how they talk about the things that he's going to have to do and how he has to get himself prepared for the attention that he deserves because of his talent. It's like you want other teams to have to focus on him. And right now, other teams get surprised by him. on the offensive end. Like, oh, yeah, there's the guy who can hit a corner three, or there's the guy who cuts with purpose every once in a while. You just want to see him put those things together. And like KC mentioned, and as you mentioned, Rob, the normalcy that is devoid of this entire season. You know, this season, it's hard for you guys even covering this, because you don't get a chance to walk and talk with the guys after practice away from the media scrums. You don't get a chance to check in with a dude and, you know, look in his eyes and see what he's really going through, right? I mean, hell, with Chandler Hutchinson, you know, like, there's so many stories probably that didn't get covered throughout this season because you guys aren't there actually next to the dudes. I can only imagine what they're not being, what they're not just allowed to do, but this is his first, like, this is his first year, so like all of this is not just new, but it's like, okay, this is what I'm gonna have to go through. His second year, when things are hopefully normal, is gonna be just like his first year in terms of acclimating to an NBA schedule, like you mentioned, KC.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, because if you get back to normal, I mean, that'll be something new for him. I mean, this is all he knows, so that's the crazy part about it. And, you know, and I know we all know this, but like, by all accounts, I mean, he handles himself so well. His comportment and his demeanor is just pretty fantastic. And attention to detail with film study and stuff like that, you know, I've heard is fantastic. So,
yeah, I'm not going to worry about Pat Williams not focusing on basketball.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. And the one question that I do have, though, and it goes back to the point about like the killer instinct, score first mentality. I would lean on you guys because you guys are more basketball historian, they've been around longer, have a more wide perspective than me. And I don't want to put you on the spot, so like, just if it comes to mind, but it's an open-ended question that I've been kind of asking myself, is how much can you coach that into someone? Like, we've talked about the innate abilities that go into being like a point guard in the NBA, for example. Like, I just wonder, I genuinely don't know. And that's why I'll be so interested to watch Patrick Williams' development track, because I don't necessarily think he has to be, you know, a 25-point-a-game alpha dog scorer to be to make the most value out of where he was drafted, or to be what the Bulls need moving forward. But I'll just be interested because have been so urgent in calling for him to have more of that mentality. I'll be really curious to see moving forward as the years go by, like, how much it is possible to coach or mentor that into somebody, because, you know, Thad being the most prominent Bulls teammate, but, you know, Billy's talked about it. Other guys on the team have talked about it. I'm just trying to mentor him and be there in his ear, being like, what you're doing is not normal. Like, keep doing that. That's what makes you special. So I'll just be interested to see that. It's kind of an open-ended question that I have lingering in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, to that end, like, I think basketball fans are going to have to start viewing basketball a lot more like baseball than they would like, in terms of guys, you know, 82 games. If you played 82, then you were considered a warrior and all these other things. Now it's like, all right, play 65 games. Hopefully you get your rest and we figure out a way to get to the championship, right? That's what the real teams are trying to figure out. Like, you don't worry about complete games in baseball anymore, or how many start, you know, 162 games that you started at first, or shortstop like Cal Ripken did for 20 some odd years, whatever the case may be. Much like that, you want to start treating the NBA draft like the baseball draft, where when you get top five picks, it's not because you're going to have five dudes who are going to be the pillars of franchises. There are rotational players getting drafted in the top five these days, and it have been for the last few years, last five, six, 7 years. And it's not because of guys are bust. It's because, okay, this is the next best player, and he might just be a rotational player. It's no harm in drafting a rotational player if he helps you win a championship, if he helps you be that, you know, that team for a very long time, the X factors, right? The Trevor Ariza's of the world, you know, guys who aren't the stars on their teams, right? The Lamar Odoms of the world, who aren't the stars on their teams, but you're not going to win a championship, or you're not going to go deep in the playoffs without that guy. I think NBA fans and even casual fans have to start looking at the NBA draft a lot more like that, because especially with these guys getting younger and younger, this is looking like farm system type stuff. It's just the G League isn't a real feeder system as of yet. And on top of it, you got less practice time. You got shoot-arounds that really ain't shoot-arounds anymore. Like, dudes are learning in the game, right? Like, when Rasheed Wallace out, I'll never forget talking to Lionel Hollins about when Rasheed Wallace was a Washington Bullet. And Rasheed Wallace was out there getting banged by Chris Webber and Juwan Howard in practice every day. But, you know, Rasheed Wallace came along, and Rasheed was Rasheed then too, but he was behind two really good ones. Jermaine O'Neal, when he was in Portland. Portland got nothing out of Jermaine O'Neal, and then he goes to Indiana and turns to an all-star. So, you know, we got to start looking at some of these top four, top five picks as not just projects, but if they cash out, you know, maybe you just have a very good player. Hopefully you will have drafted and developed everything along the way, managed your cap well, and also brought pieces in so that you're not looking at that guy's, damn, the number four pick isn't taking us to the playoffs. You're looking at, hey, look at the number four pick who's just an extra guy who's helping us get to a championship, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but don't say top four, top five picks. Just say top four, because if it's five, people going to Orlando.
Twitter, the fear amongst Bulls fans right now with every win is hilarious to me, because I'm like, we did this before and it didn't work out. Like three, four times, it hasn't. Like, let's keep it funky, man. Lowry Marketing, Kobe White, Wendell Carter Jr. Wendell Carter Jr. is in Orlando. Lowry Marketing is going to be somewhere else, more than likely. And Kobe White is trying to figure it out in his second year. And going into his third year, I think the questions are still up in the air that you had coming into his second year. So, you know, playing in the lottery is cool. But staying there for a long time, you mess around and be Sacramento before you know it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you hope a new front office regime from the one that drafted the three guys helps.
Sure.
But yeah, no, it's a tough spot to be in. And the thing I keep thinking about is, like, we keep talking, okay, 31.9% chance of getting to the top four if you're seventh, 26.3% chance if you're eighth. To me, that sounds like a 68% chance of not getting it, right? So, like, that's the flip side of this, that that number, I think, can look a little bit bigger than it actually is when you're staring at it. It's so rare. I mean, think about how big of a deal it was when the Bulls jumped from 7 to 4. Last draft to get Pat, that was the first time they had moved up from their pre-lottery position since drafting Derrick Rose, number one overall, in that kind of miracle jump back in 08. So, yeah, I mean, it's a rare thing. I totally get why fans at this point in the season, making the play-in push is just such a slim thin unchance at this point, that you got to get invested in something. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
All right, Rob. Run that Boston Celtics, preview down for us real quick.
Well, we actually did get a notable injury report update before the Hornets game. Jaylen Brown is going to be out. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm assuming he had been dealing with an ankle issue.
And then him and
Tatum collided with each other at the end of a Blazers game earlier this week. And Tatum, I guess, is okay, and he had a great game against Orlando the other day. But Brown will be out. So there's another shorthanded opponent for you. Again, you know, it's a really long shot for the Bulls to make the playoffs at this point, or the play-in at this point. But we know that from guys on the roster, and Zach, to Vooch, to everybody on the roster, to Billy Donovan, to the front office, are going to want them to kind of fight to the finish line here. So there's a little bit of an opportunity there. Robert Williams, who had been starting at center for them, and I believe there's something like 12-2 or 13-2 when he starts. He's a really dynamic young player. He's questionable. So we'll see about him. But, overall, we know what the story is with this Boston team. All the time, maybe not all the talent in the world, but all the top-end talent in the world.
Yeah.
And they haven't been able to consistently string it together. I mean, this Bulls team just went in and stole one off of them. They were shorthanded then, too, a couple weeks ago in Boston. But they had Tatum and Brown for that game. And, they're kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team, just as the Bulls are, except maybe at a different stratosphere, where you kind of don't know which one is going to show up. What I'm looking forward to most about the game tomorrow, though, is getting fans back in the building and just seeing what that atmosphere is like. I will look forward to being I've been at the United Center for a lot of home games this year, and it just hasn't been the same. It's, you know, you get used to it. It's like a new normal. But it'll be really interesting to see what 20 to 25% capacity looks and feels and sounds like. And, you know, again, Casey and I say this all the time, like, we're not necessarily rooting for the Bulls in any of these games. Like, we don't have a rooting interest.
Right.
But an exciting game with fans in the building for the first time in a while.
Always better.
It would just be really cool. So that would just be something that'd be really cool to see. I'll be looking forward to see how that plays out.
Hopefully the ear-splitting volume of the music and the PA announcer is dialed down with the fans. Oh, wait, sorry. I'm like old man. I'm right now. You go to these games, there's no fans, and there's just the ear-splitting value. I said to Rob the last game I was at, I was like, what are they doing this for?
He went to one game. He's like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, the volume and the decibel level isn't sucked up by all the fans in the building. You know what I mean? It's not bouncing off those bodies. It's coming straight for your ear canal, Casey Johnson. I can just imagine, Casey, turn this loud racket down. What is this hip hop music that these?
Oh, you should have seen this. There was one time Casey was taking the pregame Zoom with Billy out in the, or maybe it was in a visiting coach. Out in the like lower bowl of the arena where we sit, and they'll just like blast warm up music while guys are getting in, you know, player development work, skill work before a couple hours before tip out on the court. And that I remember that had you a little bit incensed, Casey.
The wireless didn't work out there. Come on,
man. we're all trying our best. We're letting you behind the curtain to probably the least interesting and the least interesting part of this whole
thing. And last thing I want is for Casey to be riled up with six games left. Like we made it this far, Casey. I can't have you. Yeah, because I've seen perturbed Casey roaming around the media room, like a raging bull. You know what I mean? Like you don't even want to lock eyes with KC as a friend too. I see KC storming around. I'm like, nah, it's a story about to be broken. I don't want to play no games with KC. So turn that damn music down, DJ, whoever you are. You know,
it happens. Everyone thinks I'm a nice guy. It happens more than you think. I'm kind of legendary amongst Bulls PR to know when to stay away from me. So.
Oh no, I'm very aware. I am very aware there's falling down moments that I don't want to be a part of when KC is on a rampage. You don't get to be a Bulls historian and 30 years in the game without, you know, killing a couple of people, hiding a couple of bodies. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't get it twisted. Don't this Mr. Nice Guy routine is not phasing me at all. I know Breaking Bad dude.
Underneath the Steve Kornacki sibling
right,
appearance
is a
cold venomous heart.
Right. Is a mob boss. AC Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's get up out of here. Zach, well, these last six games, obviously, stay healthy. Get your timing back. Go crazy a couple of times. If they're gonna do this, just go out there and finish the season strong and try to figure out what this is going to look like next year. I think for some Bulls fans who aren't on the Tankapalooza train, right? And I'm not mad at you if you are, because we know that game. You know, you get to play either side of the fence, and one side's going to be right, one side's going to be wrong, and none of it's going to matter in the future, because at some point, you got to start actually playing basketball games. You know, adding 20-year-olds is cool. Even this year, I was like, you really want to add another 19, 20-year-old? They added another one. Not saying that this season is because of Pat. Can't wait to see Pat develop. But when you make a trade for an all-star center and send away draft picks, you're telling people that we're playing this thing out. So I don't think anybody should be surprised by how they're going about their business this last couple of weeks or so. You got a couple of Brooklyn dates. Got a Milwaukee date coming up here. You got Detroit. Right, you got Toronto, who's always down to kick your ass. Like, I love the way the Nick Nurse and Fred VanVleet and that team, you know, Kawhi left, like Kyle is, you know, not happy with the situation. All the things that have happened to that team the last couple of years, and all they do is come out and fight you. They may not be better than you on most nights or some nights, but they got most of their wins because they're tougher than a lot of teams out there. So it's no cakewalk this last week and a half of the season.
Well, the Raptors are a team that I'm sure wouldn't mind dropping a few games down the stretch here too. So we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
the way they play tonight, they're not trying. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, they don't have Lowry tonight, and then VanVleet's hitting three pointers to send the game into overtime. You know, so hey,
shout out to Fred VanVleet, man. Every time I watch him play basketball, I think to myself, there is no excuse for anybody who has a basketball dream and works their tail off. Obviously, you have to have the requisite talent, but. From G League to 80 mil, man. Did it? You got 80, right? If I'm not mistaken, you got
some. I don't remember. Was it 484?
Hey, man. Whatever it is,
I think it was
85. 4 years, 85. 85.
Hey, listen, he can buy Rockford right now, cash, and have $82 million to spare. So shout out to everybody at Rockford listening. Don't worry, I'm not coming there anytime soon, so you won't be able to beat me up. For the young god, the diva, the man that we wait for when we're not waiting for me, Rob Schaefer, and the always irascible KC Johnson. I'm Jason Goff. our guy Tim Golder. He's out there hanging out. Yes. We're going to send this thing off. Management Tony is not with us, so that's why this thing is off the wheels. We appreciate it being this way. We will talk to you next time right here on the Bulls Talk Podcast, brought to you by Coors Light. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as your smart speakers out there. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us because you know you love us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning. As always, take care of each other and be safe.